你洗过这儿。
嗯，对了。
嗯。
Okay, today is May 26, 1984, and this is the Yukon Koyukuk Biographical Sketch Project, tape number 4 with Edith and Fred Beifelt. We're in Edith and Fred's home in Hooslea, and I'm Wendy Arendale. After we turned the tape off last time, Fred, we got to talking about how you saved a beaver wrapping it in birch bark. Maybe you'd be willing to tell that story again on the tape. That would be great.
Yeah, we were, me and Simon, we've been hunting beaver. We used to hunt beaver in the fall time and shooting them. And we were just about through. And, I wanted to go out one more time, shoot the beaver out here, about a mile. I was out there. Got one beaver. And those beaver, they live off a lily pad. They don't eat any wilderness or anything. That's all right. That's all right. I got it. They don't eat wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
They just eat lily pads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those big, like big bananas. Open loads, they're big open loads.
Mm.
Oh, they're long. 5-6 feet long, you can close it, that's all right. You can close it, I got the weather already.
Okay.
Mm. And, they really get spots from that.
Mm.
And it's a lot better taste than the beaver eat wolves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got a lot better taste. Then I shot one big beaver and I came home in the evening, skinned it, and we're supposed to go back tomorrow. Back to Turkey Hughes. I didn't want to throw it away. I started to think what Grandma used to tell me. She used to leave, make birch bark baskets and put their, whatever it is, berries or anything. And they sewed the top on, so no flies or anything can go in there. And I thought about that, so there was a big birch here, just a little ways from our camp. Very big birch, and I took the knife and cut the side down. It didn't peel very easy. You don't peel very easy in the fall time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But still, I got it out. I got a bunch of rope and put the beaver in there, and it's got to be the reverse bark. It got to be the sap side. You got to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's another different thing. You can't use outside to put the stuff in.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be on the sap side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I don't. Grandma used to tell me, and I don't. That's the worst. Put a lot of birch bark and tie it down good. And I tie a little stick with a little knot on the end. I climbed a tree, about 20 feet, big birch. I climbed up there and I put it as far as I can reach on a branch.
Uh-huh.
And came back here about 1st part of November. And my auntie and family. And while we were putting up camp, my auntie cut it up with an axe. I guess we didn't have no meat, I guess. We had a cache about 3-4 miles from there, but it was late in the evening, so she cut up this weird meat. And she cooked it, and I started eating it. Really good. Never ranch. So that's what they used to keep their food in long ago. Mm.
No freezer, those
days. Yeah, right.
Even our days there was no freezer.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a very clever solution to the problem.
Yeah, that's what they just keep their food in
longer. Nothing gets spoiled.
Nothing gets spoiled about spoiled. Unless it's out in the open where it's warm, I guess it would, but I put it away up high and just, you know, not too long ago, before the freezers, people used to put their meat up, about 20, 30 feet up in the fall time, wrap it up and leave it up there. And it, that way they don't get sour. Lots of more fresh air up there.
Sure.
Right in this freezer shell.
It would kind of dry?
No, they put something over it. Yes.
Like birch bark or
no,
canvas?
No, cheesecloth.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they put that there. Keep a lot better than down low. It's dry up there. No dampness up there. Yeah, he done this right. Jimmy Hunting, my half-brother, he done right down here. And you, he had the same thing. You keep a lot better, that's good.
Do you think people knew more about how to keep stuff, in, you know, different ways of keeping meat and things like that?
Oh, probably.
Than they do now?
Yeah.
Especially older people.
Can either of you remember any hard times? You know, times when food was scarce or other kinds of hard times?
A hard time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quite a few hard times. Mostly in the spring, April, like April.
March and April.
March and April. Pretty hard times, quite a few times.
Longer days, too.
Longer days. One thing, there were a lot of rabbits, but in April, rabbits are pretty poor to eat in April. They're good in March. But not in April. They're running. Yeah, they get pretty poor in April. Yeah, we had quite a few hard times.
Can you remember any particular ones that stand out in your mind?
No. Grandma always had something. She always had food. One thing I would say from my grandma, she always had something.
Just we my grandma was too.
Yeah, the older people.
Some of the older people,
they know how to stretch their food out. Good at it.
Make it last, huh?
Like berries or dry fish or something like that. They make it stretch out. I don't remember I was hungry with my grandmother.
What about after you got married? Were there hard times that you had then?
Oh, no, those days were getting better, though. Getting better. There was work. Work and crop. And those days were, and stuff was pretty cheap.
After you married, did you live around Hughes, Fred? After you married the first time, did you still live around Hughes?
Yeah. We just lived around Hughes. And those days, used to be a lot of people over in Lose. We used to go over Lose in the spring, in May, go over with dogs and shoot beaver, stay around for a beaver camp. Three of us, John Old Man and Edwin Simon and me, we stayed over the upper part of Malusi. About 20 days, I guess. All they wanted was about 20 beaver. They couldn't get more if they stayed long, but you know, some of those old people, they wanted some of the beaver left behind. So, we got 20 beaver each, that's enough. I said, that's enough, we're going to go home.
In those days, did you shoot beaver or did you trap beaver?
Shoot beaver those days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In the spring or in the fall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And next year, my first year, when I got my first year, we hunt up upper part of Muruli. Next year, Sam and me and George Butler, three of us, the lower part of Muruli, we spring for a beaver again.
Mm-hmm.
And we got 20 beaver apiece, so they say that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Then the fall time, they hunt beaver too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to go all the way over Muruli. Walk all over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you went in the spring, you could go by dog team, couldn't you?
We haul our stuff. When we stayed the lower part, we haul our stuff over dogs.
Uh-huh.
And I bring the dogs back to the camp. I mean, where the woman stayed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I bring the dogs back and walk back.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but 50 miles, I guess, over.
Wow. Were there particular, were there names for those camps that you went to? Were they particular? Yeah, in the Malozi area?
No, I don't really know. I've been over there a lot of times, but I've been around there with the older people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cochrane or Tanna. They used to come over and hunt beaver too, same
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, we got our own camp, we got our own mm-hmm. camp. Well, we see him once, maybe every other day, but
sure.
We get a chance to talk to them.
Uh-huh. I just wondered if the places you went had a particular name, that's all.
Oh, Lord, no, I don't really know no name.
Uh-huh.
But wrapped around our river, type of river, yeah, we got names for it.
Mm-hmm.
Lake or slough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got names.
When you were first married and living in Hughes, where did you go for summer fish camp?
Rock Island Point.
You still went back to Rock Island Point?
Yeah. Rock Island Point. Still good yesterday.
Yes, yeah. I hear it is.
Yeah. It's still good today.
Uh-huh.
Now, Henry is using it now.
Uh-huh.
Henry is
uh-huh.
using it now.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, up there, some of your radios. Keep 100 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, maybe one summer be good eddy, and next summer it's gone.
Yeah.
It's caving too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't cave like around here.
Yeah.
No. Up here, they don't
cave. It's more rocky. Mm-hmm. The riverbed is rocky up there.
Yeah.
What about caribou hunting? Did you do any caribou hunting then?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of times we hunt caribou in August.
Uh-huh.
When I first started to go to Sammy or Little William or George Butler, they go back to them. But after the 15th of August, they started to go back. And we have to walk
mm-hmm.
2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get caribou.
How many years did that continue? Until when did you continue to go with them to do that, to hunt caribou like that?
Oh, well, as soon as I started to stay with my grandma, I used to go out with people hunting all the time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Every time they go out hunting, I go with them.
Mm-hmm.
I go with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I guess what I'm trying to say, and I'm not asking the question very well, is... Did you continue, up into the 20s and the 30s to do that kind of hunting? I mean,
After that.
I mean, the caribou hunting in particular.
Yeah, you know, that's for when I first got married, we didn't hunt in the fall time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We hunted in the winter.
Mm.
You don't do
When during the winter?
Oh, any time in the winter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like for clothes, it's in August.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
long ago, we didn't have much, there were still a few stores.
Sure.
They didn't have much calico or anything like that.
That caribou was pretty important for clothing then.
Yeah, those days, caribou was really important for clothes.
For parking, you use it for boots?
Like 60 blue boots, but this long hair inside.
Did people use it for bedding at all? I guess what I'm trying to get at is, other people have told me about other areas that there was a time when the caribou became less plentiful, and so they stopped doing that kind of caribou hunting. And what I'm trying to get at is, was there a time when that sort of thing happened in the area where you were going to hunt caribou, when the caribou just kind of decreased to the point where it wasn't worth going anymore?
Oh, you mean getting less?
Yeah.
When I first started talking to people, there were not too many caribou. Hunted too much. Pretty low.
Did they continue to get lower, or did they increase?
Well, that 1929 or 1930, when the big herd come from Crew Rampart. You know, time of steamboat had to stop 2 hours, 2 hours and a half to let the caribou. They can't go through them. There's so many.
Sure.
They had to stop the steamboat, tie up for a while.
While the caribou went across.
When they can get through, well, they start off. But, you know, one time they said they had to stay 2 hours and a half.
Wow.
There were so many caribou going across Yukon. Around Rampart someplace.
They were demoted by that thing.
No. First day what I know is Sam White.
Me too.
Yeah, that's what most people have said.
That's the first thing
I remember. I used to be scared of him. I don't know for what.
Well, a lot of people used to be scared of him. Yeah. So you weren't alone either. From what I hear, anyway.
From there on, lots of people. They scattered all over into the country. A lot of them went back, right, but a lot of them stayed. Then after that, they didn't go out any time to get caribou.
When did moose start coming in?
Oh, that's in, there were a few moose in 1937, but not many. After that, in the 40s, I guess they started.
That's when they really started
started coming.
In
55. The teacher, one of the teachers, who was looking out through the window, looking across the river. 11 moose!
Oh my
eating
goodness.
Branches in the morning.
It's a caribou. We thought it was caribou.
That's the one they raised. They were really sick. Ever since there's moose. There's a lot of
moose. When my mother was still living, there were no moose around here. After that. How do we live on this? Just rabbits and chicken. Muskrat, beaver, like that.
Do you have any particular memories or particular caribou hunts that you remember? Particular memories of caribou hunting, or any hunts that you remember that stand out in your mind?
We hunted caribou, but nothing.
Uh-huh. Were there any particular ways of hunting caribou that you used? Any special things you did that helped you get caribou?
Yeah, you got a caribou can see long ways.
Uh-huh.
He's got good eyes. Because he stays out in the flat most of all the time, in hills or flat. You can see long ways. You gotta sneak around pretty good before you can get up to him.
Did you ever drive any caribou?
Yeah. I seen that. Well, I was in that bunch too.
How did you do that?
They get on. There was a big open flat, and there were 17 caribou out there in the flat. They were all laying down resting. And one whole side, say a quarter mile apart. One whole side. And one part goes way around the hill and come up and chase them to us.
Up toward the people who were hunting.
We just wait for them. Because he said he won't chase them up. That's the only time I seen we chase caribou that week. I heard it chase caribou, but that's the only time I seen it. Yeah, we're chasing one whole side of the flat. It's the timber. My quarter mile apart. And one part of the hill down. Way around. Then sneak up. And we shot and they all come up.
How many people were involved in that?
I think there was 11 of us in there.
And how many people shot and how many people drove?
Depends on who they come up to.
Yeah,
they come up to little Sammy and Ambrose. They come up to two people first. Then when they started to shoot, we all got in there. And that's kind of dangerous too.
I was going to say, how did you keep from getting caught in the crossfire?
People got to know. We got to know because they're shooting that way. We're not going to go get it in the front of them. We have to come in the side.
I see what you're saying.
I think definitely that shot the old 17. That's the only time I've seen this. I heard about it, but I don't know.
Do you remember about what year that was?
That was before I was married. Before I got married, not too long before.
Did you do much bear hunting in those days?
Oh, yeah. Still today. Still hunting bear today.
Was bear hunting pretty important to men in those days?
Oh, yeah. You don't know what?
Tell them about that when first bear you shot that's going up you and your grandma.
That's
the last time she was around here summertime?
Yeah. See, my grandma used to live down there mostly. I know she got tired of staying down there, so she wanted to go up to use.
Where did she live? She lived down near where?
Up here.
Okay.
Up around Cut Off.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then she wanted,
to move back to use. So she had three dogs, but I lined by myself. Lined the boat. We was going up, and there was a bear swimming across us. And so I got in, Grandma told me, get in the boat. I started to row. I started to row as much hard as I could before he swam across before us. But we got there. Somebody gave me old territory. I had that. And I've never had a stupid cell phone there. And one shot, I shot him.
Good for you.
Yeah, I saw him. His grandma was really, really glad because there's no meat.
Sure.
Down here, all kinds of duck. Down here, in 1938, when I first came down, we got so many ducks, white ducks, all the ones. They talk about ducks on the 1938. I've never seen that many ducks. First time this year, I seen a lot of ducks and geese this year. A lot of geese this year. A lot of ducks too. And birds. They must migrate around the world, I guess. Like anything else.
They move around.
Everything migrates.
That must have been a pretty memorable bear. Was that your first bear?
That was my first bear.
I think Big Sophie said it was getting late in the evening, so not too far from there.
We have right close to there.
Oh, I think.
Grandma just took the clean out to the cuts and everything, lungs and everything. Left it there. Next morning, she told me how to cut it, but I was too slow, so she cut it out.
Well, she would have been old enough, so it would have been okay for her to handle the bear and, and eat it and things like that.
I'm really glad for that meat.
Oh, I'll bet. And if it was like late in the summer or coming on into fall, it would have been good to have the fat too.
That would have been
by that time of September.
They
were getting fat, of course. Get fat in first part of September.
Are there any other bear hunts that were particularly memorable for you?
No. Only one thing, I collect caribou in 41 or 42. Me, Bobby, Jimmy went over Kobuk. They had a lot of reindeer over there. They had lots of reindeer over there. Coming back, we were over this village, we stayed there 2-3 days. And coming back, we saw caribou. It was not real reindeer, but it was reindeer, but they've been wild too long.
So they mixed in with the caribou?
And we saw caribou, and we start shooting. We couldn't get it close enough and start shooting, but I got two, and Jimmy got one or two, Bobby got some too, I think. And I run out of shells. I didn't take much shot. I was enough to want to shoot any caribou. And one caribou had his hind leg, I'll tell him his hind leg broke his bone. But he can't run fast. If you shot his front arm off, he can run just as good as four arms. So I had no more shells. I went over there. I grabbed his horn and broke his neck off. Jimmy hunting, he told me not to go over there. They're not strong. They're quick, right? But they're not strong. I got them over the horns and books. Nick Rigel.
He
wouldn't do it.
Well, that way you didn't have to leave a wounded animal either.
Yeah, I didn't want to lose one too. I know caribou next song. Yeah, we could have caribou. Crooked caribou. You can grab their horns and break their neck right off. Yeah. I've seen people do that before. That's the reason why I don't. But Jimmy, he wouldn't do it.
Did you go over by dog team that time?
Yeah, the dog team goes there, yeah. All dogs go there.
Was that the first time you'd been over to Kalbuck?
4-1, yeah. 4-1 we were there. And that's 42 I went over by myself.
Do you still go over sometimes?
Last time we were over there by plane.
Sure. No, that's what I mean. I mean, I understand people go by plane.
Yeah, I've been over there twice with dog team.
Oh, we went over for our hot spring with snuggle.
A lot of boys go there. 4 or 5 hours go there. We go to hot spring, big hot spring.
And people from over there meet you at the hot spring?
They're too hard. They're about to, not enough. They're pretty crowded.
Nice to see them, too.
It's hard to cook. So many people, you know.
Sounds like it would be fun, though.
It is.
Yeah. I like that water. It makes you feel good after.
Excuse me.
You feel lighter and all of that.
Loosened up.
This time, in April or March. Lot of Eskimos. Just keep that place cool all the time. In water, yeah.
And one time I was in water. We were over there. You just stay in there and then come out, another goes in. And then all day long.
People rotating.
People in there again.
Had only one place where you can go in. There were so many people there, so they don't give a chance to stay anywhere. One time, everybody went for Easter Sunday, and all the boys went with us. They just took off and went over Shanghai. This means we just indicated that we stayed there for a couple of days. We had fun in that water.
I bet you did.
We had fun in that water.
15 minutes.
That's as long as you can stay.
And I didn't know that. And me and my daughter, Paula, this little girl that time, she was in the water with me. And pretty soon she said, just happy, pretty soon she said, Mom, I felt funny, she started saying. I didn't know that. So I didn't have to come out. Me, I was okay. That's from that water.
It can do funny things to your blood pressure if you're in there too long.
I did 15 minutes. I started to feel funny in my head. So I had to come out.
That's a good idea. Were you trapping back in those days when you were first married? What kind of trapping were you doing for the most part?
Medicine, marten, fox, mink, wolverine. There was no link when I first got married.
What about wolf?
Hardly any wolf,
yeah.
When the moose came, the wolf came.
That's real interesting. There were caribou, but not many wolves, huh?
No.
No caribou either.
When the big herd came, there were no wolves came with them.
Huh, that's interesting.
There were no wolves came with when the moose came, then the wolf came. Yeah, they got so thick, people used to hunt them in airplanes.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, some people have got them. Jimmy and Donald Stickman, they got 108 wolves in 1 month.
Wow.
They hunt them around there.
Still there's law.
Was there a bounty on wolves then?
They had bounties.
What was the bounty? How much was it?
$50.
Well, that was a good chunk then.
I think it's $50, maybe. Yeah.
That was a good chunk of money in those days.
You can buy a lot of money with $50 those days.
Yeah.
And you go to $50 business store right now, you got a paper sack full of
it. Yeah, if you're lucky.
Especially here.
Right.
Put our mask under, he lost way last year.
What can you remember, any particular experiences that you had trapping or things that you learned about trapping over the years that stand out in your mind?
You mean try to learn how to trap or?
Yeah, things that you learned as time went on, you know.
Yeah, when I got to know what to do, then I made a good living out of trapping. You got to know what to do. I made a good living out of trapping.
When you were, you said earlier that when you first started out, you were shooting beaver, and I've forgotten who, but someone else has told me that somewhere along in the late 20s, or early 30s, they outlawed shooting beaver, and you had to trap them. How did people learn to trap beaver?
Oh, that started not too long ago. Yeah, that started not too long ago. We used to tie it on the trap on the stick. And leave it so far below the bottom of the ice. People from Cochrane, they say there's snare beaver. Now everything's up to a snare beaver yesterday.
So they did you learn how to snare them from Cochrane people?
Moose and dinner said caribou. He said that's a caribou. And we don't know how to say it in, nobody say it in English. And they said the nigger. That's moose. We don't see it right and open. I don't know why.
Is it like the word for is it like bear, and then it's what do you say the word hutlani? I'm not saying the word right.
Denega is a moose.
No, but I mean the word for something that you,
because they're scared of it. But I like to know why it was. I don't ask either Bishy or Dick Sophie sometimes.
Is that because it's a powerful animal, or?
Probably. Must be.
Well, not long ago.
We have to be careful.
That's right.
Yeah.
A young woman's not supposed to walk around bare meat or something like that. Yeah, that's the way they were long ago,
I've read a little bit about that, and Dick has told me a little bit about some of those kinds of things, and Catherine has told me a little bit about, you know, some of those kinds of things.
But right now I was thinking, I wonder why the name is just right and open. You have to be careful. And I was just wondering why they were scared of that.
They had some their ways long ago,
like something like a superstition. So, like when we go someplace, we have to be careful and talk. We don't talk just any kind of way like we talk right now.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Other people, you know, they're a little bit different than us too. Like super, kind of superstition.
Uh-huh.
They used to say that when you go someplace, you always be careful and talk. They used to tell us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like out of town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Our hometown is different.
Uh-huh.
Like mental. Woman's not supposed to be there.
They still are, yeah?
Young woman or any woman?
Young woman.
Oh.
Older woman, you can eat, but not the young woman.
Uh-huh.
And earlier still,
that was all the wishes there, generation of
them.
Today,
I don't
know.
Just for a little while, that's all. And then after that, you start eating very much. Up there, even old women, they see dinner. Well, it's just because they don't eat it, I guess.
Can you reach it, Fred? So put it around here where you can get at it.
That's their way.
I can reach it. I gotta have my tobacco.
Yeah, we gotta keep the system running smoothly here. What about hunting? We were talking about birds earlier, geese and ducks. Did you do that at all when you were young?
Yeah. Around you, that you said not too many. Not much to hunt up there. No, hardly no lake.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you gotta have the sloughs. That's down here. You gotta have the sloughs and the grass lakes and all that.
That's what
those
bushes, 20 miles down or something like that. That's how far
they're
going to go.
Below Hughes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Around here, it's just all over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Up here is different.
Fred, when did you leave the Hughes area? When did you stop living in the Hughes area?
37.
Yeah,
I moved down. 37.
And you moved down here to Huslia area?
Mm-hmm.
Well, cut off then, I suppose.
Yeah, cut off, yeah.
Yeah.
Since 37, I'm still here yet.
Grandma used to say this, but even this is still that still right now. Whitefish. Small whitefish. In summertime, they cut that. They're rich.
Uh-huh.
And the after it dry really good, and then, you put it in the fish oil. Keep it in there. And sometimes you put it away like that for the winter. That's the best, you see. You don't get hungry with that.
Better stop for just a sec and turn this tape over. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
When we hunt up the Latin River, so that's the, they have one person take care of dry meat. And the rest of the people go out hunting. They sure know how to dry their meat.
Did you ever live up in that Allakaket area?
I've been up there. We've been hunting up a Latin River hunting sheep when I first got married.
Who did you go with?
Eskimos.
Yeah, they were. Oscar and people like that?
Mm-hmm. Oscar. Yeah, he's up there with us too. Yeah, a bunch of us went up there. And they have one person to take care of the driving. That's what we do.
What about fishing in the summer? Once you moved down to Huslia, where did you fish?
We fish up here lower in the cutoff. Yeah, that's where his grandparents and his mother was. Yeah, used to be a good place, but it's no more good now.
Because the rivers changed?
Yeah, the river changed.
I have one question about that area. How did they start calling it Fred Slough?
Well, just because we had a cabin up there.
Oh, I see.
Since 1937. It used to be Huntington Slough.
What I heard was Hubbard
with
Johnny Slough.
They changed it every time people said they'd die off, well, they changed the name. Who's living there? At first, it used to be Huntington, my stepfather.
Why? Did he live there? Why is Huntington? Did he live there before?
I'm telling you the story.
I want to know too.
I'm going to tell you. He was coming up the river. Where they had a 2.5 horsepower kicker.
Jimmy, this is?
While he was coming up the river, and he thought he was going up the river. And he went in the sluice. he was going up the river. And he went in the sluice. And he went all the way around. And did the end.
So
he had to go back all the way around.
Was this an inboard or was this a kicker?
Little kicker, 2.5 horsepower.
First time I
hear that. That's how they named it.
Huntington
Slough.
Oh, I see.
And after that, Huggle Johnny lived there. They called Huggle Johnny Slough. When he died, we lived there, now they call it my slough.
So it was Huntington Slough first, and then Hog River Johnny Slough, and then Fred Slough.
Yeah.
Johnny, that's his uncle.
Oh, that's right, From what Catherine was explaining to me, that would be true.
Yeah, that's true. That's his older
brother. When we were talking about old beliefs just a minute ago, Edith, and I was going to ask you, did you have to do anything special when you first started to have periods as a girl?
You said I was not to eat fresh bear meat or fresh fish or pig.
Did you have to be away from other people at all?
We have to be with our parents today. Otherwise, they screwed us. Because the fish is hard to get sometimes.
They'll what to you?
You tell us not to eat fresh fish. Just get out of it and just cook it and then eat it right there. But right now, they don't see that anymore.
I want to stop just a minute and check the sound because the rain may be making enough noise. We're not picking you up real. Oh, bad luck. Okay.
It started that long time ago, I think. Long time ago. Because you were a hard time.
You didn't have to stay in the corner. You didn't have you have a curtained off place in the corner or anything like that?
No,
We can't because the kids go to school now.
Yeah. No, I meant when you were a girl.
Oh, no.
No, okay. Different people have different experiences with that, so I wanted to ask.
You have a bandana on for 1 year.
Oh.
And Grandma used to tell me how nice girls are right now. She said she had Bert Spark hat on for 1 year.
Oh.
And that's why she's different. We have to holler at her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All the way through that I remember she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to get close to her and holler at her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did she tell you about any other kinds of things that used to be done when girls came to that point in life?
She said that when you walk around, don't look up. Just be careful. That's what her parents used to tell her, she said. And don't look at men, and don't look far away. Just, he used to tell me, that's how he used to tell me. Just look where she walked under. For about a month, she said. And after that, she said, about 1 year, we have that thing on. How nice girls are right now, she used to tell me.
Uh-huh.
She was old for today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When did she pass away?
Not very too long ago.
How long is that, Lana?
How long ago, Grandma? About
59.
Yeah, 59.
Yeah.
And this would be which
grandma
now?
Auntie's mom.
Oh.
True grandma. Sister.
Oh. Mrs. Happy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. She used to tell me a lot of stories.
Uh-huh.
But some just little words that I don't understand.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Music
right.
Even my grandma read me. She had a lot of their old words.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I don't remember
uh-huh.
words.
Uh-huh. What kinds of things did your grandparents or your parents or your step-parents tell you as kids that they felt it was important for you to know to grow up to be good people? What kinds of advice did they give you?
Oh, Grandma really, really paid attention to me. A lot of things Grandma would tell me, I tell them on the
phone. Uh-huh. Can you give some examples of that?
Oh, one thing he really pawned into me is my dad got killed.
Uh-huh.
And he told me, anytime somebody tell you something, if you get mad, never pick up for nothing, not even a stick.
Mm-hmm.
He pawned that into me good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He pawned that into me.
What other kinds of things would she tell you?
Oh, older people used to tell us a lot of old stories. How people used to live and how they treat themselves.
Uh-huh.
All that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Old people used to tell us.
If you could think of some examples of those kinds of things, I think it would be real interesting to kids now. You know, if you can't think of them right now, maybe, you know, we can talk about that a little bit tomorrow and you can think about it a little between now and then. But if you think of some that you want to talk about now, we could talk a little bit about that now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just about to run out of stories now, which I can think of.
Like rest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know how kids stay up all night, no rest.
Uh-huh.
And then there's time to do something and then you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to say that, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like rest good, sleep good. And then they can Yeah. I remember I used to step on knife and play. When I was a kid. And then when there's time to pack fish up the bank, I'm sleepy.
What about ways of treating other people? What did they tell you about how to treat other people?
Like what?
Well, one of the things that people have talked about, for example, when I was talking with Edgar Nolan, one of the things that he said his father drummed into him, or, you know, said was real important over and over, was that it was important to help old people. You know, when there were old people who needed some help with wood or with carrying water or whatever they needed, when you saw an old person working, that it was important to go and help them if you were a young person.
I really helped old people when I was a kid. Like, oh, Lucy, here's some racing cars. And Ludi.
I've heard about Ludi.
And Albert. That's Ludi's husband. Father. And all those people. Like my grandpa. Old man Asla. I used to do that. Because grandma told me to do it.
Did they ever tell you anything about, you know, how husbands and wives should treat each other?
He really used to talk to young
girls. When you say be good, what did they mean by that?
Stories.
Like if we take something from somebody, oh, they'll really screw us. Never do that again. Or hurt somebody. They'll talk to us too. Well, the people used to be good at that.
How to not to take something from other people and all that. And even old Lucy used to tell me that, and Louie told me that too. Long ago, we were hungry. I still wouldn't take nothing from anybody. Because all the folks they pound that enter.
That must have been a really important value.
Well, that's only one way they take and teach us, I guess. Food or nothing. That's the only way they take and teach us. And they really pound that into us.
What did they teach you, or what did you learn about how to raise children from the older people? What kind of things did they tell you about that?
They talk about their own stories and other people's how it is raise their family and all that stories. Yeah, they have other people's stories and their stories. They used to tell us a lot.
Can you think of an example of that kind of thing?
Oh, I know.
It's hard.
My grandma told me a lot of stories. There's nothing I can think of. It's just how to take care of myself and Mm-hmm. All that. Yeah, grandma really, really talked to me.
Edith, when you were getting ready to have children and were raising your children, who did people give you advice about it then? This was Mrs. Happy now? When you were raising children, did you compare notes with other mothers?
Sometimes sit around the table, or sometimes sitting down together like this, and just tell them. He used to work in Huckleberry that time.
So I suppose a lot of the men were gone, so the women would get together and.
Sometimes I'm just by myself and telling stories. So you don't get in trouble.
Oh, you're sitting around talking to your children.
Grandma used to tell me. You still like that, yes?
Oh, I can see why. I can understand that. Let's stop for just a minute. You were about to say something, and I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
I forget.
No, we were talking about kids. What kinds of things did you tell your kids when you were growing, when they were growing up?
Oh, work.
Work and
learn how to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I really told my kids not to bother anybody, other family's kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we really talked about our kids. We not to interfere with other people. You know, some people, you know, tell their kids like that and they interfere with other families.
Can you give any, you don't need to mention any names, but what kind of thing do you mean when you say interfere with other families? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Not to bother them.
Well, not to bother other kids.
You mean to go around their house and talk to them, or what kinds of things?
Just like,
so they don't get in trouble.
Our kids don't get in trouble.
Remember, they used to tell me, talk. Even my grandma used to tell me, talk with your friends, meet friends, make them laugh, make them happy. Yeah, they would be the same way with you. If you don't talk, you wouldn't have no friends. Mama and grandma used to tell me that.
What do you think were the hardest things for you growing up?
It used to be hard for me to talk with somebody. I always used to think that maybe I wouldn't tell them right. I want to be sure that I talk the right way to older people, not to my friends. You always laugh and stuff like that.
What was the hardest thing for you, Fred?
The hardest thing for me
when you were growing up, yeah.
Well, this, there was hardly no kids at you. There was nothing I could say. There were about three or four of us. Growing up there as well. So we couldn't get in trouble with any.
You couldn't get in any trouble. What about your kids? What do you think was the hardest thing for them growing up? Or some of the things that were hard for them growing up?
I remember when she started staying in school.
Oh, when they went away to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first year is the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was here. But they never been away, and then all at once they went away for all winter. Come back in the spring. It is said, everyone said it was hard, especially James is the worst one.
Was he the first one?
No.
No, Lincoln was the first one.
And Marion and. Marion and James is mostly homesick.
Yeah.
It is too, but Ethel was in Fairbanks.
So maybe was it quite so far away for her?
No.
Yeah.
But Sitka is far away.
Oh, yeah. Long ways off. And different kind of country, too.
Really?
Yeah.
And they miss their work, too. Like around here, we hunt muskrat or go out to try to catch fish. They miss that. And out there, there's berries, they say. Lots of, but different than around here. It's not Swedish around here. But big, they say. Blueberries.
What was the hardest thing for you as parents when your kids were growing up?
Let's see.
You mean to get food for them or?
Whatever. I mean, I don't know. There may have been, you know, it may have been hard to get food for them. It may have been hard to.
We just got a rifle all the time. Look to work or hunt or trap.
So we don't get behind.
Yeah.
So we don't get behind. We gotta keep moving. They all done it.
Oh,
with
the.
Gotta have fish. And so far we did okay.
Were there things in terms of just raising your kids that were hard?
While he was in the hogger room, we were hungry for meat that I know. No freezer. And then we had camp across here, me and Lermack. And Lincoln and Lermack's son. They're the biggest. So I told them to go back there and get that ducks. I know where ducks is. It's about big enough to make soup. So they went back there with, we had a bird duck. And Collie. They went back there and these ducks just run away, disappear.
Oh no.
And they had no gun. They just all had sticks, that's all. And Lincoln said, as soon as they got there, this house dog would find out of where the ducks went, so he went under the brush and grabbed them and take it out and threw all of it.
Oh my!
They brought that home and we make soup out of it. Oh, that's something.
So
we get spam. That's
the
only one I get.
There's that dog, in the I really think about that. Just today, my teacher on college. They're good for kids. They take care of kids. They watch kids. Other kids fight with. Start a fight with our kids, you know, that dog has got to be right there.
Really
good dogs and stuff.
Good dog.
Did that collie have a name?
Lassie.
Oh, Lassie!
I wish I had that thing.
Really good around the house, they would call it.
They're real loving dogs, too, you know.
What I really like about it, they take care of kids. Kids go out, they stay with the kids all the time. Stay with the kids.
Did you find it hard to be away from your family when you were working in Hog River?
No. No, I've been, ever since I first got married, I've been out that hunting out for a month. I'm also used to it. But it's hard for the for her because
the meat.
Yeah.
You know
meat. They're hungry for meat.
Yeah.
You know meat much of the what is meat to eat is cancer.
Yeah. When your boys got old enough to hunt, did that help?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Lincoln is old enough to hunt now.
Mm-hmm.
That's helping us with this.
Yeah. I have a couple questions that maybe would be good for Fred to answer. I'm kind of interested in how the boats on the river have changed. What kind of boats did they have on the river when you were a boy?
Were you in that steamboat?
Yeah.
The first boat I ever seen was that sidewheeler.
Mm-hmm.
First boat I seen.
Do you remember the names of any of the early ones?
Not that one.
Uh-huh.
But the line and Susanna.
Uh-huh.
I know they were good.
Uh-huh. Say those names again for me, please.
Huh?
Say the names again for me.
The line.
The line?
Mm-hmm, the line.
Uh-huh.
That's the first boat all freight up. A lot of freight going up this sky. You know, that's the gold mine up the white one.
Uh-huh.
Cold, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And after that was Susanna.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same size steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
Two that we used to haul freight.
Mm-hmm.
Those days they had no barge.
Mm. It was all on the boat itself.
All on the boat itself.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't haul too much.
Uh-huh.
And not too long after that, they had big wooden barge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When they got those big wooden barges, what pushed them or pulled them?
Oh, not stern wheels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Stern wheels. By steam.
Uh-huh. You know. Wood burning?
Yeah, wood burning, yeah. I think steam is the strong power of what you need. Still right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you give it up, I think they just give it up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you burn so much wood.
Yeah.
You burn so much wood.
Yeah.
You
don't have to buy gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they burn a lot of wood.
Did you ever cut wood?
Yeah, we cut wood for timber.
When did you do that?
Well, it's wrong when I first got married.
Uh-huh, when you were living in Hughes?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, everybody used to do
it. You must have killed ahead of time. You buy it when you come.
Oh,
next time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who handled that in Hughes? Is it the storekeeper or somebody like it that?
Yeah, storekeeper.
Uh-huh.
Handled that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, storekeeper.
Who was the storekeeper then?
Oh, the store was light.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had a store there. I guess that's about 50 grand up now.
Okay.